want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm reading, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reading yours.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right, and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are honored. We consider it our privilege to be able to go to God's Word to answer the questions that may be on your heart today. Again, this is a live radio broadcast, so please go ahead and call in right now and get your question asked on the air, or you can go come on the air live yourself with your question. And again, we'll go to God's Word for the answer. It's so important that you allow us to go to God's Word for the answer, that you get your answer from God's Word. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so what you want is you want to hear God's Word, or you want to allow God's Word to answer your question. If you have a question right now, go ahead and call. The lines are open, 308-9564, 308-9564. Now, over the last several weeks, we've talked a great deal about the church and about how the church was established. We've talked about how that it was established on the day of Pentecost. But now, what were the events that led up to the establishment of the church? And so today we want to take a close look at that. We'll be spending some time in Acts chapter 2 and look at those events that occurred on the day that the church was established. It's interesting that we find over in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus is talking to Peter, and Jesus says that he was going to build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And so Jesus was going to build his church. Again, it was going to be a church that belonged to him. He was going to be the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 brings that out. Now, while we're going through our discussion, if you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We are so glad that you have tuned in with us today. We pray that we will be able to find the scriptural answer for your question as we let the Bible speak. We thought that the beginning of the year probably would be a good time for us to look at the beginning of the church, how the church began, and all the events that surrounded that. There are a number of things that are totally ignored today. I don't know if you've ever heard this expression or not, but I was raised with the expression, well, if you want to get the story right, you need to go to the horse's mouth. And what they meant by that was you need to go back to the source to be able to find that information and be able to get that correct information so that we might be able to see exactly what the truth of the matter is. Now, in Acts chapter 2 is the source, is the beginning where the church began. Yes, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church in Matthew chapter 16. Well, that church began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. A number of things occurred that day. For example, John the Baptist and the disciples of Jesus had been baptizing throughout the time that they had been preaching, preaching the thought of the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the message. That was the thoughts. That was the procedure that they seemed to be doing throughout that 3.5 years and telling many other things that our Lord did. But they were all baptizing. Well, starting with Acts chapter 2, you might be surprised to know there was an entirely different baptism in Acts chapter 2. And so that would be something that new that began. And so I believe we have a live caller that would like to be on the air. And so we're just now getting things started. So please forgive us if it takes us a second to get you on. But go ahead and tell us your question. What kind of question do you have? Okay, go ahead. Yes, sir. Well, that's exactly what God meant. Matter of fact, there was one example where someone broke the Sabbath, and they went out and picked up sticks on that day, and God, through God's instructions, they were stoned to death because they broke the Sabbath. And so, yes, that's exactly what God meant in the Old Testament when they were told to keep the Sabbath holy. They were not to work.
Okay, one more question about the commandments.
Okay.
When it said, do not call the Lord's name out in vain, can you give me an example of that?
Okay. Well, to use God's name, the word vain means without purpose, without meaning, without any kind of significance whatsoever. For example, if you reach out in front of you right now and grab a handful of air, what do you come up with? Well, no matter how many times you grab it, you're going to come up empty. And that's what vain means. The word vain throughout the scriptures has always meant that. And so that's what it meant, to take God's name in vain, that is, without meaning, to say his name without any kind of reverence whatsoever, then that's what it would, what he was talking about. So if people were to, for example, if they were to use his name in cursing as a byword, then that would certainly be taking his name in vain. But something we don't often think about is that whenever we just use God's name as a filler word, a lot of times I've heard people say, oh, God, or sometimes on TV stations, someone will be surprised and they will exclaim, oh, my God, without any kind of reverence whatsoever. And now that, my friend, is taking God's name in vain as well. We often do not think of it that way, but if we're taking it without meaning, without significance, without any kind of reverence associated with it, then that is taking his name in vain.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help a lot?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you for calling today, and we're going to go ahead and follow up a little bit more on this because there are a lot of times people will take Old Testament things and they will try to apply them in the law of Christ, and so we thank you for calling today.
Okay, thank you.
Now, in addition to his question, we also might need to establish that we can't or should not go back to that law to justify ourselves. And that's in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. We see that that if someone does attempt to do that, I'm reading from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, where he says, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you are fallen," or "you have fallen from grace." And so we do not go under the law of Moses today, the law of the Ten Commandments. Now, of those ten, nine of them were repeated in the New Testament. But one of them was not, and it's interesting, the one that was not repeated in the New Testament was keep the Sabbath holy. The other nine were repeated, including using the name of the Lord God in vain. And so we must try to serve our Lord. And in the New Testament, those names or those nine commandments are repeated. Many others are repeated. But only if it is under Christ's law is what we should be living by today. We can't go back to the old law to be justified. Galatians 5 and verse 4 brings that out. And so that was a very good question, and we sure do appreciate that caller calling in today. Do we have another question, Nick?
We do. This call comes from Somerville, from a young lady named Natalie. Natalie, we appreciate your listening today. And to all of you who are listening and listen to us week after week, we do appreciate it. But those of you who are just joining us, you are listening to a live radio broadcast where we seek only to answer your question by going to God's Word. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. It's time for us to take our first break, so we'll answer this question after the break. But go ahead and call right now, even while we're at break, 308-9564, and we'll be sure to answer your question. That's 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. please take a moment to write this number down, 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air, or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
All right, we are back on the air, and I think we have a live caller standing by. Would like to ask their question live on the air. Okay, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how can we help you? What's your question?
Was there more people than Adam and Eve on the earth when it first began?
Well, when it first began, it says that in the beginning God created the two out, and not just not a whole bunch. A lot of times people will say there was more than one creation, but when you look and see exactly what he says in chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness," talked about their dominion, and then verse 27 says, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." And so there it seems as if those were the only first two that God created. And then they procreated after that. And thus it continues even today. In chapter 4, we have a record of the first children that are recorded. And that would be Cain, their first. And then it was Abel, his brother.
Okay.
And that's chapter 4, verse 1 and 2.
If there were only Cain and Abel, and there were Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
How did they populate the earth?
Well, that's a good question. And that's a very common question people wonder about. There's a couple of things we have to keep in mind, and that is the amount of time that they were living. And also we have to keep in mind that girls were not listed as the children being born. So obviously somebody had to marry their sister. And some sister had to marry the brother to begin with. But by the time you have one, and there was no commandment against that until Moses' time. So that was not illegal in the beginning. It was not a law against being married to your brother. And so someone had to marry their brother or sister. They could have had children, and then they could have had children, and they could have had children, because they lived, some of them, up close to 1,000 years. And so how many children could someone have over a period of, we'll just say, 500 years? How many children could they have?
But wouldn't that be incest?
Well, that law of incest was created later. That was not a law against that in Genesis. And that was something that was added by Moses' law many, many years later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that help?
The help.
Okay, so yes, they had to intermarry within the family back then. And I believe Nick wants to add something to this.
I just want to add something from chapter 5 of Genesis. And there it gives us the genealogy of Adam. And it tells us how long Adam lived in verse 4. Or verse 3, the Bible says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And he begot Seth. The days of Adam's were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters." And so there were, in fact, sons and daughters for which that could have been married, and that's probably what happened. I know oftentimes today as we look at marrying sons and daughters, we see that as incest, but as Ricky mentioned earlier, that law did not come until sometime later.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for calling today.
Thank you.
Very good question.
Yes.
Very good question.
We certainly do appreciate you calling in. Continue listening each week, if you will.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Again, we've been talking about this idea of what occurred the day the church was established. And we'll get to that in a moment, but we want to answer yet another question. I was going to answer this prior to the break. Before I do that, I want to go ahead and let our listeners know that the lines are open, so you can call right now, 308-9564, if you have a question, 308-9564. Natalie asks this question. She says she's in the process of a divorce due to adultery. I guess they've been separated for 2 years. Is it a sin to get remarried? Well, Natalie, I want to call your attention over to the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter. And what we want to do is just let God's Word speak on the matter. And part of this, you're going to have to decide for yourself based upon what you hear out of God's Word. You may recall earlier that I said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. And so you have to let God's Word work on your heart. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, Matthew chapter 19, picking up in verse 9, Jesus is speaking on this particular subject, and he also speaks on the subject of remarriage. In verse 9, he says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Now, in your comment, you said that you're in the process of getting divorced due to adultery. Well, according to this text, adultery is a reason for divorce. Adultery, my text says sexual immorality. So that is a reason for divorce. Here he speaks of remarriage, and he only allows it as long as there was adultery in the particular relationship. But now you said that you've been separated for 2 years and you're in the process of getting divorced. That's something that you're going to have to work out for yourself. I cannot speak to that. Well, all that I can tell you is that God does authorize divorce when someone's been guilty of adultery and remarry for the innocent party, the person who was not guilty of adultery. But I also want to leave you with one other thought, and I always share this with people. That comes out of Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. Just because God might allow divorce, the Bible shows us that God hates divorce, and he always hates divorce. He will always have us to reconcile if possible. That's Malachi 2 and verse 16. Hopefully that's helpful to you. For those of you who are listening to us, if you just joined us, you're listening to a live radio broadcast, Let the Bible Speak, where we work diligently to answer your questions that may be on your heart.
Now, I've got one thing to add. If you will go ahead and also write this passage down, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, talk about the idea of marriage, divorce, and then remarrying your former husband. And so, again, that's Old Testament, but I thought you would want to read what God said about that in the Old Testament as well. That's Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. It's time for us to take a break. We'll be right back in just a moment, but while we're away, you can go ahead and call in your next question, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we are back. We do want you to know that we're serious about that correspondence course. It is free. We send it to you in the mail. Even when you finish the course, we'll even get a certificate to show our appreciation to you to show that you have finished the course. And so that is something that you can study 24/7 in the middle of the night or in the day. That is an option up to you. And so we'll send these materials for you to study God's Word, the most important document in the world, that you can study that in the privacy of your home. So be sure to call the operator standing by, 553-5157, and we will send that material to you free of charge. But now, the lines are now available. If you want to call in your question, you can go ahead and call in right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and you can call in your question. We have Isaiah this afternoon calling in a question about whether his situation, has been given to God 10% for years, and he says he can't keep money. He's in good health, but he's having all kinds of trouble with family and finances and wants to know what he is supposed to do. Excuse me. Isaiah, we sure do appreciate your opening up your heart like this. And we hope and pray that you might be able to fully get to a situation where you will be completely on your feet financially. Now, I will direct you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So let one give as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, nor are of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So grudgingly and not cheerful. Well, that is not something that God desires. He does not desire one of us to be able to give with a grudging heart. And so that would be something to consider, Isaiah, first of all. Second of all, if you happen to have been in a church where the preacher or the leadership of that church is always badgering the people about giving more and more and more and tithing, and it seems as if that would be part of your question here because of your 10% question. If that is the case, then I would carefully ask you to consider, where in the Bible does God tell the people to give till it hurts? Give till it hurts. Not in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, they were to tithe. But in the new law, that law of Christ, there is nowhere where we are instructed that we are to tithe, that we have to give. We have to give a tithe. No, what I just read there is what the Lord desires. He desires a cheerful giver. He desires one who has purposed in his heart and can give without grudgingly or of necessity, that is, by compulsion. And so if you feel compelled that you have to give, then you're not scoring any points with God. But now, again, I will point out here, most churches today have gone into big finance. They will build their buildings, and they will have all of this luxurious environment prepared for people. But the bottom line is that they are just not being concerned about the givers at all. And thus, there's great problems in churches, even in this area of Charleston, where people are being badgered into giving instead of giving from their heart.
You know, God always wanted the members of a local flock to take care of its needs. But the key is for it to take care of its needs. And so we should not be going out and creating bills for ourselves. And a lot of these various congregations are creating a huge debt, and they're putting this burden on their members to pay for this debt. And that's not right. We don't see that as a matter of pattern in the Scriptures. And again, we have to go back to the Scriptures for everything that we do. All our answers have to come from one location, and that's the Word of God. Again, I want to encourage those of you who are listening, if you have a question and you'd like to join our discussion, you can. 308-9564, 308-9564. Talking again to this idea of giving, what we see in the first century church is when people had needs, the church members, those who made up the body, they would sell their possessions to help out one another. But they were not compelled. No one was going to them and beating them over the head and saying, "You have to do this." But these folks acted out of love. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was established, and verse 45, the Bible says, beginning in verse 44, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." These folks did this because that was what it was in their heart, to help one another, to help serve one another, to, again, take care of the need that was that they were experiencing at that time. But again, no one was beating them over the head and forcing them to do that. Again, listener, caller, we appreciate your call today, and hope that as you give the way the Bible says, with a cheerful heart. That's all God expects out of us. Again, that number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564.
You know, that first church in the first century, that you just do not see them going out and financing. Matter of fact, the Proverbs speaks highly against that. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 brings up 22 verse I think it's verse 7. It's in chapter 22 where it brings out that the borrower becomes a slave to the lender. And so I don't think the Lord would be pleased for us to be able to behave that way. And that yet churches are doing it, people are doing it, and that's what has got America right now in the financial crunch that it's in because they continue to do practices like that. Where are they getting that money and where are they spending the money? Well, they're spending it in places that Jesus never told us to spend it. This money is to go toward preaching the gospel. You've heard us say in our breaks and also in life that the money that pays for this program is freely given cheerfully by people that meet in Groose Creek. And that's what maintains this radio program and for us to send out these materials in the mail to be able to preach the gospel, bringing this great news to a lost and dying world. Unfortunately, so many today are in churches where it certainly is not a bright place. It is a dark place when it comes down to the money situation where people are being compelled to give. And so, Isaiah, you're not the only one having to go through this. And I'm so sorry that it's going on like this across the religious area that we are in. But we thank you so much for calling today. The number right now, the lines are available. This is a live program, and you can call in your question, 308-9564, and we will take your question. It can be written down and brought in, just like Isaiah's was. Or you can go live on the air as our previous callers. It's up to you. But we do want to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. Again, that number, 308-9564. Go ahead and call in now before the end of the program when we run out of time. Again, that number is 308-9564.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the events that occurred the day the church was established. Now, what would make people listen to the message that the apostles had? In fact, when you go back and you think about Jesus and the message that he carried, Jesus' message was a message that was radical. Again, he taught things that was strange and odd to the listeners, and he taught in such a way that, in fact, he found himself crucified for the things that he was teaching. So what would make all of a sudden people begin to listen to the apostles? In Acts chapter 2, we see that one of the things that was promised to the apostles was power. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a moment, but I do believe we have a caller live on the air. Caller, are you there?
Yes,
how can we help you?
Yes, I called earlier. About Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if Adam and Eve and brothers and married sisters today, there would be birth defects.
That's right, because our genes have so digressed through the millennia to where that we cannot intermarry, and that's no doubt why God made a prohibition about that in Moses' time. And so
in Moses' time, he made a law.
That's right. Yet they were not to marry brother or sister. There was not to be any incest, and he made the commandment based upon several generations.
Until then, when did it stop?
That was Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 17 is where that prohibition is given.
Oh, okay.
And so that's that was many hundreds and hundreds of years after Adam and Eve. But what happens to everything. That's the reason there's sickness today, so much sickness. And if you ever wondered, it sounds like you are of age like me, and you probably have been impressed with that there's a lot more sickness today than there was when we were young.
Right.
And that's the natural course of things. The older we get and longer humanity exists, we're not getting better. We're getting more worse. Everything is running down and becoming more diffused. And our genes are not what they used to be from the very beginning. So there was no problem with deformities for hundreds of years after the creation.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Okay. So it's Leviticus chapter 20 is where you find that answer.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for calling again. We certainly do appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too.
Again, the number to call, if you would like to join us in our discussion today, is 308-9564, 308-9564. If you have a question, let us go to God's Word and answer that question for you. We've been talking about the events that occurred the day that the church was established. One of the things I wanted to mention is that the fact that there was power that was given to the apostles. Again, what would make a person listen to the apostles by contrast to Jesus? The apostles was preaching the very same message that Jesus preached, and yet Jesus found himself on the cross. Well, Jesus had promised the apostles that, in fact, they would be endued with power. that they would be able to do various miracles. And again, those power, that power that was given to them was for a reason, so that they could confirm the word that was being preached. Again, in Mark, if you would turn to Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, we find out that that's what the powers were for. And while you're turning, I just want to make mention again, that number to call to join us in our discussion is 308-9564, 308-9564. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, the Bible says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, talking about the apostles, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Those signs, those miracles, were designed to confirm the word that they preached. You see, if someone comes to you today and says, "Hey, I'm from God," why would you believe them? Why would you listen to them if they come to you and they're teaching another doctrine other than what's been revealed in God's inspired word? But if they come and they're able to do the signs that these apostles were able to do, these were legitimate miracles, then that would get us to listen. And that's what the apostles did. They came and they were endued with power by the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus promised. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus tells them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so what we see in Acts chapter 2, when the church was established, prior to the establishment, we see the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit and receiving the power and being able to speak in tongues. In verse 4 of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so they spoke in other tongues. That word tongues means languages. It was a language. It was not some kind of mumble jumble. This was a language that you could learn and understand, like Spanish or French. And that comes out in this text in verse 8, 9, and 10 of Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, "And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And it gives a list of the languages. In verse 11, I want you to know what they were teaching or what they were talking. They were not just talking what was on their hearts or what was on their mind, but they were preaching or proclaiming the message of God. In verse 11, they heard them speak Cretan and Arab. He says, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And that's what occurred. That's one of the events that occurred there when the church was established. These apostles received the Holy Spirit. It enabled them to speak in tongues, thus confirming the word that they were preaching. And again, they were preaching a language that the people there could, in fact, understand. If you'd like to join us in this discussion, you can. 308-9564, 308-9564.
This is a live broadcast, and we do want you to know how much we appreciate you listening today. We're going to take a quick break to give you information on the free correspondence course that we're offering. This, of course, is free of charge. We will send this to you in the mail. There is an operator standing by right now at the number 553-5157. Here are the details, and we'll be right back. Go ahead and call in your question while we're at break. The number to call here to call in your question is 308-9564. There is one line available. 308-9564 is the number to call in your question, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We are back live now again, and we are so glad that you have taken out your afternoon to join us as we let the Bible speak. I believe we have a caller that has called in and wants to ask their question live on the air. And, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you doing this afternoon?
Fine.
Well, wonderful. How can we help you?
Okay, I have to discuss with friends. And my friend, I came from a religious family. My grandpa was a reverend. My grandma was in church all her life, but he passed away. But if you miss suicide, do you go to heaven or hell? That bothers me a lot, because people just tell me I'm wrong and I'm saying I'm right.
Well, I'm
going to hang up and listen to what you had to say about that.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in today, and we will do our best to answer it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
The first place I would probably want to go is 1 John chapter 1, where it talks about how that if we are a child of God, if we are one of his children, I tell you what, let's put things in order. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be damned." So he brings out that if someone is not a believer in the Lord, then they are damned whether they commit suicide or not. And so that's once that's established, once we are saved, once we are one of God's children, then 1 John chapter 1 talks about how that we should react to sins that we may do. And in 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, I believe it says, yes, it says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, what's interesting about this passage, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, all begin with the word if. Now, we all know what if does. If gives two possible scenarios. And so, if we confess our sins, if we walk in the light, if we have fellowship with him, or if we walk in darkness, there are consequences to that. The positive consequence, that is, if I walk in fellowship in the light, confessing my sins, it says he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. But here's the question that you ask. What if not? What if we do not walk that way? We do not confess our sin. If we do not walk in the light. In other words, we walk in such a way to where that we actually, in the process of committing a sin, that we end up removing the possibility of confessing that and asking for forgiveness. Does God forgive us then? Well, before you answer, let me be quick to point out to you that we're not the judge. God is the judge, and we're not. God will judge each of us according to his word. He does bring out, though, that if we are walking in darkness, then we are we do not practice the truth in verse 6. Now, I would like to also bring out to this, and that is, God knows our hearts. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. In Psalm 139, it talks about how deep is God's understanding of our ways, and he knows our ways afar off before we even are aware of them ourselves, our thoughts, before we even complete them. He knows them all together. So he knows our hearts, and so I'm so glad he is the judge and we are not, and he's the one that will sort it all out. Not only suicide, there's a whole lot of other sins that man commits that really I'm so glad that I'm not the judge of. He's going to be the one that will make the final call in that. I hope that helps a little bit anyway. Nick, you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, I just want to add a thought. Caller, this is a good question for us, no doubt. And it forces us to consider all that God has said. When I look within the scriptures and I begin to think about suicide, suicide is no doubt a form of murder. It is to take a life. The life that we have is a life that God gave. And no one has a right to take that life except that of the giver. Otherwise, in fact, I'm taking something that is not mine. Really, it would fall into the category of murder. In James chapter 2, in verse 10, the Bible says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And so clearly, the person who would take a life, be it their own or somebody else's, has transgressed God's law. And the Bible is clear on what God has in store for those who transgress his law and do not repent. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, it's something that you have to kind of study yourself as well. Again, for those of you who'd like to join us in this discussion, you can, 308-9564. I believe we have a caller live.
Yes, and let me encourage the caller to go ahead and turn your radio down because there is a delay and that will be confusing to you and to us. And so if you can go ahead and turn down the radio and listen over the phone while we're talking. Okay, you're live on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, I'm calling about, I'm kind of confused about biracial marriage. You know, my niece, she married a white guy, and what did the Bible say about biracial marriage?
Okay, well, I will, in the New Testament, I will answer that pretty quick. Here's what it says. Are you ready? Write this down if you want to.
Okay.
That's it. That's all the Bible says about it.
What does it say?
Yeah, there's no verse about that at all. And when it comes down to race, God is not concerned with that at all. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, 27, 28, 29, it says that there is neither Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free nor male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we should be focused on, whether we're in Christ. And that has nothing to do with the color of the skin. Now, that's what the Bible has to say. And so there's examples of even interracial marriage in the Old Testament where God did not condemn it. There was only a time when the Israelites were Jews, and God told them to only marry within their tribe. And so a Jew could not even marry a fellow Jew if they were not even in the same tribe for a long period of time. And so that's some prohibition in the Old Testament. But there's nothing in the New Testament that prohibits that at all. Matter of fact, there's no such thing as a race card at all. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for calling today.
Okay.
All right, then. Again, the number here is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. That's 308-9564. There is one line available right now, so we do want you to go ahead and call in before the end of the broadcast. Again, we do want you to know this is a free broadcast, and everything that we offer is absolutely free. We're trying to let the Bible speak and let it be the authority today. There are people today that are following everything from Aunt Louise to the pastor so-and-so to someone in Vatican City to you name it. And those are not authorities. Those are not God-given authorities. We must let God's word be the only authority in our life. But by the way, my friend, we're going to stand before God in judgment one day, and it'll be his word that judges us, and so we need to let the Bible speak. Okay, I think we have a next caller that wants to go live on the air, and so we do want you to know, if you've got your radio on, turn it down and listen through the phone so there won't be an echo. Okay, you're live on the air. Can we help you? Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Okay, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, I have a question about the suicide.
Yes.
I did have a friend years ago who committed suicide, and I was very worried about that person. And, you know, I asked the question to a very knowledgeable person in Christ, and she told me that she heard that God knows, you know, he knows what state of mind you're in when you commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
You know, you don't go to hell, but, you know, that's still a question, you know, for me.
Well, and of course what we're doing there is when we try to look and make the judgment call, we're whittling on God's end of the stick, so the country preacher said. And so that's something that we really don't want to do, is whittle on his end of the stick. He's the judge, and his, all we can do is look and see what the word says.
She said she heard Oral Roberts speak about that at one point.
Well, I don't think he's going to be our judge one day.
Exactly. He's just a man.
Yeah, that's right. And so we've got to just let the Bible speak. And I believe Nick's got something to share with you. Go ahead,
Nick. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in with this passage. And we're all under the same condemnation. We're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat, and God's going to have to be the one doing the judging. And absolutely,
yeah.
You're right, caller. He will look in our hearts, and he will know what our mindset is. And
right.
John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one which judges him. the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And that's for all of us. God's word will be the judge. And so whatever
that's
God's
right.
word say on the matter, that's what we have to go with. And
yes,
I'll tell you, when you start thinking about those who pass away, there is a thought that I maintain, and I'd like to share this with the listeners. Just know that there'll be no one in hell that isn't supposed to be there, and there'll be no one in heaven that is not supposed to be there neither. God will be the judge. Hopefully that's helpful to you.
Okay. We are glad that you called in, and we certainly pray that you will be able to tune in each week. And I know that that is always a touchy situation, and people wonder about how people will turn out. And the truth is, no matter how smart we are in God's Word or how ignorant we are in God's Word, it still remains the same answer, and that is God is the judge. And no matter what we say, it will be he will be the one to do the judgment. And I believe we have another caller live on the air. I believe you're there. Can we help you? Yes, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? How can we help you?
Okay, I'm good. Thank you. My question for today is, I have three children, three girls.
Okay, great.
At what age do they start to carry their own sins? I have a 13-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
All right. Well, that's a very good question. You want to hang on, or do you want us to be able to answer it while you're on the line?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Well, and let me ask you just a couple of questions to kind of get everybody thinking about that just for a second. If your 2-year-old comes up and kicks you in the shin, has he sinned against God? What would you say?
No.
No, because he can't comprehend God. And
right.
So let's say that now your 2-year-old understands you as an authority. Now, he sinned against you, and you would probably spank him. But now if he's 8 years old or 7 years old and he goes to school and he kicks the teacher in the shin, has he sinned against you?
No, he sinned against the teacher.
Well, but won't he answer to you too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So he's in that sense, he's sinned against two authorities.
Okay.
That is the teacher and to you.
Yeah.
But now he's a 16-year old. He understands you. He understands the teacher's authority. He probably understands police is an authority, and most likely, but not necessarily have to, he may comprehend that God is the ultimate authority. And let's say that he kicks you in the shin now at 16 years old. Has he sinned against God?
Yes.
Yes, because he can comprehend God. And once he comprehends that there is a greater power, a greater authority than man or a police or government, that there is the creator that created the universe, and once they can comprehend that and they do the very same offense, now their sin is against God. Does that help make sense?
Yes, it
does. And when does that happen? Well, I don't know. It may not ever happen if they are mentally challenged, if they are handicapped in some way. They may never be able to comprehend God, and thus they can never sin against God.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your question.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We are listening. You're listening to the radio broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This is a live broadcast. We do want you to know that you are the audience. You are the one that can be the actual ones on the station. We've had many people go live on the air today. The number here is 308-9564 to call in your question right now, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your questions, and we'll put them on the air, and we'll let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. And again, the number here, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157, and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 1-800-553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
You make certain that you go ahead and enroll in that. Call the operator standing by at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that material to you. Also, there was a caller just now called the station, wanted to know where we meet and the location and when times that we meet. We'll be glad to give that to you, but we'd encourage you to go ahead and call the operator standing by, and she'll give that information to you, 553-5157. Just for those that may be curious about that as well, we meet just one block from the intersection of 176 and Highway 52. We'd be glad for you to join us whenever you'd like to. Again, that number at the operator standing by is 553-5157, and she'll give you the details about times and locations we meet. Our interest, though, is to let the Bible speak, let God's Word speak in your heart so that you will find the words of eternal life just like you should desire. We have a caller calling in a question now.
Yes, Tamika calls in this question. Before I read this question, I want to go ahead and tell you, you have just about 5-6 minutes or so to get your question in, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Tamika says, if we've repented of a past sin, will we face consequences for it after Christ forgives us for it? Well, Tamika, that's a good question. I'll call your attention over to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, the context here is about those who are walking in the light, and so here it absolutely is talking to Christians, those who have done what God says to be in Christ, and if we continue that walk, well, God has made a provision for us when we do sin, because the fact of the matter is we will still sin. In verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This idea of confession is a part of that repentance. Repentance means to have a total change of heart, which should lead to a total change of life. And thus we confess what we've done wrong, and God will thus forgive us for as long as we are walking in the light. And this was established, you know, when God implemented this new covenant, the New Testament law. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, to get an opportunity to read that, but I just want to read the latter portion. When God is going to bring about this new covenant, he says, I will forgive their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more. We get that in Christ Jesus. I do believe we have a live caller.
Yes, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, my question is, like, if someone studies Hinduism or believes in Hinduism or any other religion other than Christianity, would they go to heaven or, you know, the opposite?
Well, all we can do is let the Bible speak to that question, and the Bible is very clear concerning that question. In Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, where it says that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby man can be saved. One can be saved. And I'm trying to give you the actual address.
Well, let me give you another passage while Ricky looks up that passage. But John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm sure you may be familiar with this passage, John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. And that seems to put a lock on it. The only way I can get to the Father, the only way you can get to the Father, the only way anyone on this planet can get to the Father is through Jesus Christ.
And that was Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you for your question.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening this week. Bye-bye. Again, we are. This is a live broadcast of Let the Bible Speak Radio, and we're trying to let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. We're very active today, and so we appreciate your joining us. The number 308-9564 is the number to reach us here, and you can call in your question. You can be live on the air, or you can be having it written down and brought into us. Either way, better hurry though before the end of the broadcast. 308-9564. While we're waiting on the next question, let me go ahead and say, there is an operator standing by at 553-5157, And you can enroll in a correspondence course that is absolutely free. We'll be glad to send that to you in the mail. 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak in through a Bible correspondence course. Big picture of the Bible correspondence course we'll be glad to send to you. Again, that number one more time is 553-5157. Okay, we are, again, we have another question. Nick?
Well, in fact, I was going to pick back up with our subject matter today. We were talking about the events that occurred when the church was established. One of the events that occurred when the church was established is that the gospel was preached. The gospel was preached in the first century. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, Peter standing up there, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pain of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Now, hear what Peter is doing. Peter is actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus came to this earth, how that he died, how that he was buried, and how that he was resurrected by the power of God. That's one of the things that occurred there in the first century. And this message was a message that convicted. It convicted the individuals that heard that message. In verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, here you have Peter bringing it to a climax. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, verse 37, the Bible says they were cut or pricked to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do for what? Well, to make things right. That's the idea. What shall we do to make things right? And they were told by Peter to repent. I believe we had a caller in earlier asking about repentance. He told them to repent, to have a total change of heart, turn away from your sins, repent, and thus be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And that word remission means removal of sins. It's for the cleansing of sins. And he goes on to say, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay, this was the message that was proclaimed or preached in the first century when the church was established. Folks heard about this Jesus and how he had sacrificed himself for them. They came to the conclusion that they too were guilty of sin. In fact, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says we all are guilty of sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Thus, all are in need of a Savior.
Okay, again, this is Let the Bible Speak, and I believe we have another question.
We had a caller named Alana call in with the question, "Under what grounds does God honor divorce? As was read earlier, Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, God says he hates divorce." So in the way that the question is worded, I don't think that there are places or a situation in which God does honor divorce or look lightly upon divorce. God does allow certain situations. God wants marriage to be between man and woman for life, but God does allow certain situations like an adultery, cheating on the spouse, to allow a man or a woman to be excluded from the covenant of marriage.
Very good, but we have another caller calling in this question this afternoon. Rosanna calls in this question. She says, "Is it a sin for people to live together, and is he sinning by letting her daughter and her fiancé live in her house together while not marrying?" Well, Rosanna, I would direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, which says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that man does without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And so there we can see that this is a sin even against the body. And so we do want you to know that that is wrong. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Also, the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 also you should reference as well. But we sure do appreciate you calling in your question, Rosanna. We want to thank you again for listening today. Please tune again next week as we Let the Bible Speak, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Join us each week. Thank you for listening today. We'll talk to you again next week.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm weeping, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day I am.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.